Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Actually, there's one other thing I wanted to say. Thank you, Badahari Prabhu. That's what I wanted to say. We talked about the schedule yesterday and, you know, 4 hours of kirtan. I don't know, Maharaj, I'll try. But I think it worked out really well. You know, you just like, your voice shot? You're okay? You're a great group, and he's a wonderful leader. And it worked out fantastic. So, like, what a way to begin our program. Thank you. Your presence is much appreciated by everyone. Text 24 from Canto 2, Chapter 3. Tat ashmasaram hridayam batedam. Griyamanair Harinamadeyai Navikriyetata Yadavikaro Nitrejalam Gatra Raheshu Harshaha Tat That Ashma Saram is steel framed. Hridayam, heart. Bata idam, certainly that. Yat, which. Griyamanai, in spite of chanting. Harinama, the holy name of the Lord. Dhyayai, by concentration of the mind. Na does not vikriyata change. Ata thus yada when vikara reaction netre in the eyes jalam tears Gatra Roheshu at the pores. Harshaha eruptions of ecstasy. Translation. Certainly that heart is steel framed which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. Of course, the loophole is just don't concentrate when chanting and then there isn't any fault. Anyway, purport by Srila Prabhupada. We should note with prop. This is a long purport. We should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. This is like an overview of the first three chapters. It's Canto 2. In the first chapter, the first step of devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed. And a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. By such a gross conception of God, through the material manifestations of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and the senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as the Supersoul in every heart and everywhere, in every atom of the material universe. The system of Pancha Upasana recommending the five mental attitudes for the common man is also enacted for this purpose, namely, gradual development, worship of the superior that may be in the form of fire, electricity, the sun, the mass of living beings, Lord Shiva, and at last, the impersonal supersoul, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu. They are all nicely described in the second chapter. But in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. And the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. So you can hear the change of heart several times, like yesterday, mystery. So now it's change of heart. Paragraph. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. That's like the preliminary change of heart, because it goes into other places too. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, parentheses, namely, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, and the legs, as already explained herein before, close parentheses, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted. Even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord, we must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. And if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs in the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage. Preliminary, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead. Just going to summarize or paraphrase, the next paragraph is, this is due to offenses. This failure for the heart to change is due to offenses. Then the bhava stage. The bhava stage is manifested by 8 transcendental symptoms, namely inertness, perspiration, standing of hairs on the end, failing in the voice, trembling, paleness of the body, tears in the eyes, and finally trance, which is like quickly summarized in the last verse, last line of the verse, the bodily transformations, but what happens on the sense level when the heart is changed. The Nectar of Devotion, a summary study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, explains those symptoms and vividly describes other transcendental developments, both in steady and accelerating manifestations. Next paragraph I'm just going to summarize, because the purport goes on longer. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about the imitators, those that practice symptoms without change of heart. Those from Bengal know about this. I have a little story later. But that's one of the the deviations, the upasampradayas of Lord Chaitanya's followers that gave a bad name to Lord Chaitanya, was that not having the spiritual qualification but wanting the adoration of others, persons would imitate. And then that's, you know, when they were doing kirtan, imitate, roll on the ground, cry, tremble. I don't know how they practiced it, but they practiced it. And then afterwards, you know, mundane activity, like debauchery in the name of something, you know, spirituality. So Lord Chaitanya's name became tarnished by those imitators. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls those people the stone-hearted ones. Even when the symptoms are there, they're imitation symptoms. Their heart hasn't changed. The symptoms are only imitation. They are hopeless cases for transcendental realization, Prabhupada writes. Paragraph. When Lord Chaitanya met Srila Ramananda Roy of Kavur on the bank of the Godavari, the Lord developed all these symptoms, but because of the presence of some non-devotee brahmanas who were attendants of the Roy, the Lord suppressed these symptoms. So sometimes they are not visible in the body of a first-class devotee for certain circumstantial reasons. Then he gives another list, because the first list was eight. This is a list of six, where these are internal besides the external senses. So these, therefore, real steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of one, cessation of material desires, shanti. Two, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, of yarta kalatvam. We had a whole retreat in Giranagari just on this one. And it wasn't a mistake. I mean, it was deliberate. To help us move to this stage, we need to consciously and conscientiously utilize time very carefully, exclusively in Krishna service. And if it's not Krishna service, there's no room for it, because we're so filled with, anyway, avyartha kalatvam, every moment. Three, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly. Nama gane sada ruchi. There's that ruchi word again, that precedes the bhava stage. Sada, always, every moment. Eagerness, nama gane sada ruchi. Four, attraction for living in the land of the Lord. Pratis tad vasatis tale. Five, complete detachment from material happiness, virakti. And, very important one, pridelessness, mana shunyata. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam. Last sentence of the paragraph. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the bhava stage, as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitator or mundane devotee. Last paragraph. The whole process can be summarized as follows. Colon. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a two things. Perfectly offenseless manner. What else? And is friendly to everyone. Can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires, etc. So there's the cause and there's the effect. Offenseless chanting and being friendly towards everyone. Result of which is the experience of bhava. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious. So much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas and more of the, you know, the deviated people. Even they may make a show of constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, their exhibition of these things and the last line of the verse is condemned. The good news. They can, however, get in touch with a pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. Last sentence. A complete progressive march on the return back home, back to Godhead, will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. So, the title of the chapter is Pure Devotional Service, and I can distinctly recall when this was first translated and published, Prabhupada was at a stage where Prabhupada wanted chapter by chapter, the second canto published in paperback form, because we had a printing press at the time, and he wanted our printing press to make this available for the devotees to read hot off the press. So it was called Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart. That was the title of the chapter. And this is the change of heart verse. There are two terms in the verse. Vikriyata. Na vikriyata. Vikriyata means change. And the same line, vikara. Vikara means reaction. So there's the change of heart that connects with Vikriyata, connects with Hridayam, Tad Ashma Saram Hridayam. That heart is Vikriyata. That heart is steel framed if there isn't Vikriyata, if there isn't a change. So the symptoms isn't the change, it's the symptoms are the reaction of that change of heart. So first is the change of heart, then come the symptoms of the change of heart. And so we'll follow what Prabhupada does in the purport. Chapter 1, Chapter 2, Chapter 3. Chapter 1, first step in God realization is the title of the chapter. And as Prabhupada is saying here, there's two main things. It's the formation of a conception of God. There are people in the world. Don't be surprised to hear that there isn't a conception of a personal form of God or a personal existence of God, let's say. but to speak of form, just the personal existence. And I'm sure we've all met people that have an idea of God that's impersonal. And to go from impersonal to personal is, they can't go there. Not only a stretch, they just, one of the students that came from St. Louis, where's Jumunajivana? Oh. You know, practicing Krishna consciousness, taking part in the programs regularly at the club, the yoga club, or the club at the university, Washington University, came enough that he came during his vacation time to join one of our gatherings. And he stopped practicing Krishna consciousness because he just couldn't accept God as a person, right? Very nice, very soft, you know, pleasant person, thoughtful person, just couldn't go there. Stopped. So, chapter one is, and there are other people, chapter one is form a personal conception of God. That's a good start. Beginning. Supported by hearing and chanting. And that personal conception of God is, that's described as the universal form. Things that you can see with your senses, see those things in relation to a personal existence of God. Chapter 1. And gradually, the recommendation in chapter 2 is, take that personal conception of God that you use your senses and then form a conception within the mind to then draw attention of the mind to the form of the Lord in the heart. And, you know, here it's described in this purport. It's gradual. It's progressive. A gradual development. Worship of the superior that may be in the form of fire, electricity, sun, mass of living beings, Lord Shiva, and at last, supersoul. Impersonal supersoul. And that's still supported by hearing and chanting. Is it like hearing and chanting, and then devotional service, hearing and chanting. So we can just, commonly, we just begin with hearing and chanting. And that's, you know, that's how we begin. And then, you know, beginning and then the intermediate and the advanced. It's not like hearing and chanting is a means to something else. Hearing and chanting, it leads to more hearing and chanting. Like we read that little section from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describing the stage of fixed. The barometer of fixed is the degree to which there's hearing and chanting and slackening, and that means that one becomes unsteady. So it's connection with Krishna. It's purification. But what does one do in the purified state? Kirtaniya sada hari. That's what one does. When there's stai bhav, when there's steady ecstasy, what does one do? One wants to hear about the object that I have ecstasy towards, naturally. You know, when there's love, or when there's, to go down, but there's attachment, there's attraction, there's a taste, the subject matter for which one has a taste, one talks about. Even in mundane things, somebody's into sports, all they talk about is sports, or they're into money, all they talk about is money, or they're into some other unmentionables, and whether else all they talk about is that unmentionable. They're absorbed. That's their thing. So hearing and chanting is preliminary, and it's intermediate, and it's advanced. And the stage is, it takes faith from the preliminary stage up to the faith exhibited in love of God. Is there faith in the kingdom of God? Yes. How does it exhibit itself? Love of God. And there's faith in the preliminary stage that says, I know there's something more. I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something more. I'm sure there's something more. not just I don't like this. I know there's something more. Deep within me, I know there's, so there's some preliminary faith. And then there's stages of faith. And what this is describing is through that process of hearing and chanting, coming to the stage where there's a change of heart. And just a little bit on this word, ashma, both within the purport as well as elsewhere, Prabhupada moves back and forth between ashma means steel and ashma means stone. Like, for example, in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, when describing the process of meditation, one can be fixed in meditation when the objects, one isn't attracted by one, repulsed by the other, one is neutral. And so the example is gold and stone. We don't get excited when we see a stone. Somebody may get excited when they see gold. But in the stage of fixed meditation, objects one is neutral towards. So ashma in that case is stone. Then another example is in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the three modes of nature, 14th chapter. Krishna is describing, at Arjuna's request for him to do so, the position of one who is beyond the modes of nature. And again, Krishna uses this word ashma. They're neutral. The modes push us this way and pull us that way and attract us this way and repel us that way. It's just the modes of nature. It has nothing to do with who we are. It's just the modes of nature. And the one who is beyond the modes of nature is not attracted or repulsed by objects. Same as chapter 6, just further stated. So again, it's translated as stone. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when describing Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, whose bodies were so strong, they're described like ashma, steel-framed forms, like impenetrable. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, you know, have a fight with a steel body. You break your hand. They were very powerful. So ashma is translated in both ways, stone or steel, and in the purport, stone-hearted, steel-framed heart, means just like it's very hard compared to stone or steel. Hard. What melts stone can also melt. Called lava. It's volcanic eruption. And stone comes out in a heated form. And steel can melt. But that the heart that doesn't melt or become soft is the heart that hasn't been affected by this very powerful agent that has the capacity to melt. Especially when there's concentration. And that's in the second line. Harinama dhyayai. Dhyaya is a stage of the mind where the mind is concentrated. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada makes this, he just mentioned it. That is, there's in vidhi, sadhana bhakti, there's things that you do with your senses, like behaviors, with your senses. But the purpose of the behaviors of the senses is to bring about a change of mind. Where, just like in the first chapter, there's a mental conception, how you look upon the trees and the hills and the rivers and the clouds and nature. look upon nature in terms of God. That's chapter 1. So it has an impact on the mind, a conception of God as a person, even you're just looking at things within nature. And similarly, in the process of devotional service, we're engaging the senses and cleansing the floor and walking to the temple and seeing the deity with the eyes and using the senses in practical activity. But the practical activity has a connected purpose, not a separate purpose, but a connected purpose, and that's the mind. Like, for example, some of you have studied Bhakti Shastri or will be studying, and in Nectar of Instruction, one of those four books, there's six items that Rupa Goswami says they help one achieve perfection in devotional service. Three of those things is more the mind or an attitude, how you orient your feelings towards the process of devotional service and the object of devotional service. And the other three are things that you do. One's an attitude, one's a behavior or activity. And they're to be connected because one helps the other helps the one. We follow the tat-tat karma pavartanat. We follow the activities of devotional service because it helps orient the mind properly. We orient the mind properly, it helps us in how we execute our duties. One is connected to the other. Prabhupada writes it right in the I'll read the sentence. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body. Namely, eyes, nose, hands, legs, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all the activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. So, not just mechanical, this is a beginning state. The question, how can I get beyond mechanical chanting? That one I mentioned yesterday, and actually experience like a taste. We discussed that. So preliminary is, consider how your mind is engaged while chanting. And, you know, we know what the mind does. It does what it wants to do. That's what it does. Sometimes, and most of the time, it's all over the place. But there's an intelligence when things are in proper order that gives direction to the mind that then gives direction to the senses. So to connect the intelligence to the senses and say, make this sound, okay, then my dear mind, go to Krishna. So the discussion we had yesterday was, besides just pushing the mind to Krishna, allow the mind to become attracted to the all-attractive, the pulling or the attraction factor of Krishna. Recognize the name is Krishna who is Krishna, etc. So the hearing about Krishna and what the holy name of Krishna is, not different than Krishna, the mind, it makes it easier for the mind to go to Krishna. And of course also the purification, the other side, the cleansing of the contaminations of the mind. To get to that point of Harinama Dhyayai, or this concentration of the mind. So specifically what the verse is saying is, as one becomes a little more accomplished in concentrating the mind through those processes just described, if one doesn't have a change of heart, there is a gradual change of heart if one is trying to chant defenselessly. And that, surprisingly, Prabhupada doesn't include a little section in the Ten Offenses, because it's elsewhere in this chapter. But striving to overcome the Ten Offenses, the chief of which, or the driving force behind overcoming the offenses, is attentiveness, or the chief of the offenses is inattention. Inattention is what the mind does. Not just make the sound, but bring the mind to Krishna. Plead with the mind. Pray to Krishna, please attract, you're the all-attractor, please attract my wicked mind, etc. Effort, practice, prayer, striving, endeavor towards coming to the stage where the mind is with Krishna. Because the mouth is there and the ears are there, then like this verse of Rupa Goswami, when the heart is there. I'll do it again because it's such a nice verse. Rupa Goswami's verse. I do not know how much nectar has been created by these two syllables, Krishna. When we have kirtan today, meditate on this verse and see how that may help your absorption in kirtan, not just the musical part, but the name. I cannot estimate how much nectar has been created by these two syllables, Krishna, the object, then the mouth. When the mouth, when this mouth calls upon the name of Krishna, Krishna appears to be dancing within one's mouth. And one desires many, many mouths. Of course, we already have in kirtan, we have many mouths. But even your own many mouths. Eagerness, Rupa Goswami's teaching. Utsahan, eagerness, because of what the holy name is. And then when that sound enters the ear, the nectar that's produced is such that I desire, one desires millions of ears, many, many. And then the heart. And when that sound enters the chamber of the heart, the activities of the mind are stopped. And the senses become inert. Just from this chanting. That's this change of heart. And then these symptoms that are described. The bodily ones. And then the attitude ones. You know, how one regards, so here's the six again. Cessation of material desires. Cessation of material desires. Because of my involvement with reaching out to Chinese people, going to China on Monday, and attempting to assist the China mission here in the U.S. by meeting Chinese students and Chinese people and somehow helping the China mission. I've learned something about Buddhism because a lot of them know something about Buddhism. They don't, like mentioned in chapter 1, they don't have a personal conception of God commonly. It's like, it's a stretch. They have to be really creative. I mean, for us, it's hard to imagine not having a personal conception of God. I mean, it's just like not even an option. But one of the things that they do have is this, the idea, very clear in Buddhism, is desire is a trap. It's something that one is to be given up. So it's like the teaching is shunyavadi, that's to become literally, absolutely desireless. Not desire happiness, desire less. not desire to get free from misery, desireless. So the most prevalent little detail from some research, the most prevalent form, there's many, many, many forms of Buddhism. The most prevalent one in China and in other parts of Southeast Asia is this particular kind of Buddhism, the name of which I forget right now. But their teaching is, if you achieve the best thing you can possibly achieve, like the goal, where do you go? You go to the land of pure bliss, where there's a form of Buddha with a particular name, and he teaches you how to go to enter into the realm of nothingness. That's when you're really good. You go from nothingness to pure bliss to absolute nothingness. Because the teaching is here is nothing is real. To go to the place where there's pure bliss, so you can get really trained up to go where there's absolute nothingness. Whoa. And so the nemesis is desire. The bhava stage is not like that. It's cessation of material desires, but the amplification of spiritual desire. They can't, you know, those that are conditioned or accustomed to that concept, the impersonal or voidist concept, they don't get it, like a spiritual desire. They don't make a distinction. It's desire, and it's bad. Get rid of it and become a stone. No desire. Wow. It's, you know, there aren't so many people that are actually following it, but that's the teaching. So the devotional teaching is not the stone one, the ashrama one. It's the bhava one. Then time. That's a spiritual desire. Time is very valuable to a transcendentalist because it's an opportunity to serve Krishna. There's taste. It's an opportunity to taste the happiness of being in one's relationship with Krishna, serving Krishna. Let me not waste a moment. Glorifying the Lord. Eagerness, intense eagerness for glorifying the Supreme Lord. And with whatever it is that we do, like when there's opportunity for hearing and chanting, this is one of the symptoms of advancing, where there's eagerness for hearing. Vishvaksena Kata Ruchi, in the language of the Bhagavatam. The attraction for hearing Krishna Kata. Eagerness. And then in our other activities, let our other activities that aren't directly Shravanam Kirtanam, but it's other expressions of service to Krishna, let it be in the mood of glorification of Krishna. Let the world, let the hearts of the world become attracted to Krishna and devotional service to Krishna and the object, Krishna, like that. And when that mood of devotion and eagerness to glorify Krishna is there, how powerful it is. It's unstoppable and it's so attractive. And when one comes in contact with that, I mean, it's part of the magic of the early days of the Hare Krishna movement was this blissful eagerness to think of Prabhupada and glorify Prabhupada and tell Prabhupada stories and go on Sankirtan because Prabhupada wants to go on Sankirtan and do anything because it was for the pleasure of Prabhupada. It was explosive. And someone came in contact with that and was, wow. Very attractive. Then, 4, 5, and 6, being attracted to the holy land of the Supreme Lord. Complete detachment from material happiness and this condition of heart of pridelessness. Mana shunyata. So we can cultivate those things now to come to that stage while we chant the holy name. It's like making wet wood dry wood so that the wood can ignite. We're not there. But make wet wood dry wood by cultivating these principles in the tadangam cha from yesterday's verse with the paraphernalia for along with the paraphernalia sarahasyam tadangam cha devotional service along with these nice items of cultivation, not just deity worship but deity worship that's done with great devotion, not just, you know, okay, I'm assigned to clean the temple room and zoom, zoom, and now I'll go on to something I want to do. With great devotion. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You have some service in the kitchen. It's going to go to the deity. And while they're hearing the holy name and discussing Krishna Katha and not Gramya Katha, not blah, blah, blah. Prabhupada was really strict about that. Really strict. I mean, really strict. And if one wants consciousness to come up, then engage in those activities and not the other one, not the other ones. Engage the senses and the mind in these nice attitudes of glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then conclusion. It just keeps going. In summary, offenseless chanting, friendly towards everyone. And there's different ways of showing friendship towards everyone. It's not we embrace everyone. There are certain persons we stay away from. The vilifiers, the hardcore committed atheists. But aside from those people, we show our friendship towards them by, like in the workplace, or in the school, or out and about. Wishing for them that the act of friendliness of giving the opportunity, wishing to give them an opportunity to connect with Krishna. So we're certainly going to be doing that in a very joyful way this afternoon and evening. And it's very attractive. And we've had the experience that when people see that, they go, wow. And at least, you know, think favorably, but many people want to come and, you know, check it out a little bit more. It's attractive. So attract people to Krishna by that, while we're having a nice time chanting the holy name for the pleasure of our founder Acharya and our disciplic succession and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Krishna for their pleasure. That's our pleasure. And it's very attractive. So attract the hearts and the minds of others, this friendly regard for other living beings. And then amongst our own, establish proper friendships. Some question was raised some time back, why such emphasis on loving relationships amongst devotees? Well, it's Rupa Goswami's teaching. Replete in his teachings. You read carefully, for example, Nectar of Instruction, and it's in 4 or 5 verses, the importance of that. But also, where is it all going? It's going to Krishna Loka. What's in Krishna Loka? Loving relationships. Ultimately, a loving relationship with Krishna and a loving relationship with Krishna's loving devotees. So we practice that here. And we desire that kind of happiness of love with one another. We want it. We want it. So we cultivate it according to the teachings. And especially when one's heart is pure, or as Prabhupada is writing here, where the heart is free from envy. Invariably, the neophyte, or the lower stage of devotional service, envy is there. And in the higher stages, it's gone. So what's in place of envy when it's gone? It's loving dealings, loving exchanges with Krishna in the center. And all of this is made possible by this wonderful process of devotional service that begins with chanting Krishna's holy name. It's the foundation. Help us get to the point of Harinama Dhyaya, chanting with concentration. And then, that concentration is a state of mind, that's the beginning of the change of heart. And then from that, further stages that are natural. We cultivate this carefully. As Prabhupada says in the conclusion, from authoritative scriptures directed by a realized devotee. So, and there, see if there's some discussion. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The verse that you were mentioning...
A little further away. Your voice is strong.
Sorry. The verse that you were mentioning by Rupa Goswami...
Yes.
Okay. So when I was trying to meditate on that for some time during chanting...
This morning?
Yes, Maharaj.
And yesterday during Kirtan?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay.
So there seemed to be a conflict that... And we always hear that... While chanting, our desire should be to please Krishna and please the devotees. But in this particular verse, if you try to meditate on that, it feels that we are wanting our pleasure. So there seems to be a conflict there.
Obviously, because it's coming from Rupa Goswami and not one of us, the object of Krishna's happiness is clearly there. So, how to bridge that gap of appearances and reality? It starts with, it's just this wonder of Krishna. What is this name of Krishna? It's two syllables, Krish and Na. I mean, if you remember from yesterday, Krish, Jiva Goswami breaks it down. In Krishna Sandarbha, he breaks it down. Krish means to attract, and Na indicates the transcendental happiness, the ananda feature of the personality of Godhead. Krishna. And by vibrating these two syllables, Krishna, because the name is not different than the person, such nectar is created, generated. Who can say? So it's marveling at the all-attractive. And then there's the subjective expression of what one experiences when connecting without offense with, without offense is, you know, the glorification of the syllables, Krishna. There's the mouth, there's the ear, there's the heart. That's the subjective experience of one who's connecting offenselessly with Krishna. So it's not about me, it's about the object and how wonderfully subjectively my experience of Krishna is this. I'm not focusing on myself, I'm focusing on Krishna. It's by Krishna's, by those qualities of Krishna, his all attractiveness, and his existence in transcendental bliss. My happiness is that, connecting with that, like the spark connecting with the fire glows because of connecting with the fire. Otherwise, just a piece of carbon. Someone else. Okay. Whatever.
Maharaj, I was trying to understand this verse with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's teachings. He advises to beat the mind which shows in the morning and in the, you know, before we go to bed. And he also analyzes the wicked behavior of the mind, you know, not especially offensive behavior. And then in Dushtamana he says that, you know, he advises the mind to absorb in Hari Bhajan. So I'm wondering how, if someone is able to fully concentrate on the holy name, how would his heart would still be still framed? Because it seems that uncontrolled mind is, you know, causing offenses.
You've put three different things in one question. Let me unpack it. Just take the last part first. That is, when the mind is concentrated, how can there be offenses? Just the last part. In the purport, Prabhupada is speaking of the imitation of the mind that's concentrated by imitation of the symptoms of one whose mind is concentrated. That's what he spends a good part of the purport in. Let me put it as a question. Have you experienced in the course of your chanting times when you're more concentrated than other times? Of course, we all have. There may be, like, you know, little windows where there's concentration, but rather it's in the anishtata stage, it's sporadic, unsteady. That's one way to look at what's being said. Concentrated sporadically, intermittently. And the reason is there's impurities of the heart still, or substantially. And therefore, we discussed it yesterday, but that concentration of the mind and the happiness one feels when there's concentration of the mind while chanting, I expressed yesterday, say it again, it's just a reflection. The real concentration of the mind is Shuddhanam. That's offenseless. The other is the intermittent kind. And that which the mind is experiencing in this intermittent stage is Namabhas. What to speak then of the happiness of, let's say, Rupa Goswami, or the happiness of one who was chanting Shuddhanam. So the appeal then is, come to that kind of offenseless stage and come to that kind of Shuddhanam, pure chanting of the holy name. And when that comes, the symptoms will be there. You know, the external symptoms, the eight Ashtasattvika bhavs, and these other symptoms of internal absorption. It's not intermittent. There's no interruption in these six or the eight. Unless, like Lord Chaitanya, he checked them, the external ones. But the internal ones are always there. Always. That's the change of heart that comes from purely offenseless chanting. And that means, you know, where there's no inattentiveness. Now go backwards with your, you know, the cautions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, both the wicked mind that wants to get adoration of the public by going to a solitary place and chanting continuously, imitating Haridas Thakur, when the mind is on other things, like wealth and women. The mind is on those things, but I'm thinking I want adoration from others about what a spiritual person. The old wicked mind, that's a big part of the Dushtamana writing. And then the other is, you know, the discipline of the mind. That the broomstick and the shoes. That's in the more in the preliminary stage. Okay. Someone else had their hand up. You had your hand up.
Over here.
It's the garbage truck we have to tolerate, the morning serenade. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Speak loud.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I have feeling that...
You have a what?
You mentioned that through the nine stages.
I mentioned what?
You mentioned that through the nine stages.
The nine stages, yeah.
There is supposed to be a gradual change of heart.
Supposed to be a what?
Gradual change of heart.
Gradual change of heart, yeah.
So I have feeling that... I'm hovering, I'm still feeling, I have feeling that I'm hovering over the initial 3-4 stages.
You're hovering over those initial stages.
Initial 3-4 stages.
Okay,
so,
fine.
And I have feeling that...
Welcome to the club.
So I have feeling that my heart is not changing. So what should I do?
Continue to... Same question as yesterday. Twice asked, same answer. Remember the answer from yesterday? You want to say it back? Three things. Continually practice, right?
Yes.
Become, take extra effort to be clear what the object is, the name. So by, we regard, listen to the sentence, we regard things differently if we value them than if we don't value them. Isn't it true? So, spend a little extra time appreciating the name, the glorifications of the name. Our great acharyas have written many things. So read them, and you connect with those great acharyas, which is a third item. Associate with those who are accomplished or advanced or great souls. And you can do that through their writings, and as well as otherwise, like great souls who are accomplished. And then you just stay on the path, those three things. Constant practice. What's the other half? Detachment, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Same as what Prabhupada said here in the purport, in simple language. That's what to do. It will carry you through those stages. It's not doership, it's you'll be carried by Krishna through those stages. Krishna will pick you up from the dark place, dust you off, and carry you to the next stage and the next stage and the next stage. Just stay faithful to Krishna and the process just described. Take the microphone from him. He's going to do something else again. Follow up. All right.
So Maharaj, what is it that I should be watching for? To know that my heart is really moving from...
Don't worry about that part.
Okay.
Where is your mind going? Worry about that part. And so to say it again, if you have a clear idea... Take the microphone from him. If you have a clear idea of this wonderful touchstone of the Holy Name, strengthen that understanding, theoretical understanding of this touchstone of the Holy Name. Cultivate that. the mind will go there because it's valuable. So then when you chant, your mind will be more inclined to go there than fruitive activity and problems and opportunities and schedule and, you know, fixing things and building things and creating things and doing things and all the stuff that the mind is very habituated to, like addicted to. The mind can go to another place. And even if the mind, so now the first one, even if the mind doesn't go to that other place, you continue to practice. With faith, so the muscle that's being exercised here is the faith muscle, that this will carry me to that stage. Even if I'm like mush, I continue to chant because it will carry me to that stage. And then the third one, association. Just stay with it. Your faith will be, all the good, so many good things will happen. Faith will be nurtured. Cleansing will take place. Yay! And some desire to serve the name. And those who chant the name will grow just by the practice, faithful practice, gradually. That's exactly what you quoted. So there's the pulling it apart or detailing it a bit, gradually, gradually. That's the change of heart, gradually. Someone else. We have 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Any on the ladies' side? Anything? No? You have something? No? Okay. Okay, we're done. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda Gītāya.